Hey guys, thank you so much for joining me. Today I'm going to show you how to make a video game using a program called Construct 2. This video should be set up such that there are timestamps below this video that you can click on in order to skip to the parts that you feel are relevant to your learning. I'm going to first start out by showing you a tutorial that I made using Construct 2. The premise of the game is that our main character here has a broken heart that we need to heal. So avoiding these little red guys, we navigate the dungeon in order to touch that moving pink guy in order to heal our heart. If we touch the bad guys, we lose some health. As you can see, those are blinking. And if you lose too much health, you lose. Okay. And then you touch the door, and then you win. And you get out of the maze. Or you move on to the next level. Though there is no level 2. So what I have up here is a blank Construct 2 canvas. We get this by going to File, New, New Empty Project. And right here you see that it is blank and we have nothing on it. So what we're going to probably want to do first, double click. We get an Insert New Object menu. I select Tiled Background, and then I can click anywhere and it'll bring up this screen. And from this screen, I'm going to open my background image, close out of this window, and now we have our background. So if we put it to the corner and resize it, like so, you can tell that it looks kind of perfect. It looks like one image. It's seamless and you can't see the seams of the edge of the image. So before I do anything else, I'm going to want to rename this because we want to rename all of our objects something that we can remember. So background seems pretty good, pretty standard. And the next thing I'm going to want to do is insert my main character. So most of the things that we're going to be putting in this are sprites. So I click anywhere and I bring up the screen. And since I have a main character that's going to have some animation on it, I'm going to right click, import frame, and then from sprite strip. This is my character. He has seven frames of animation. So we're going to say number of horizontal cells is 7. And you can see this is him and he's got some animation there. It's kind of tiny. So we're going to close out of that, and whoops, there's an extra frame here, so we're going to make sure that we delete that. There we go. Now he's a real person. Hooray! This is the character I created. And we're going to rename him to be the hero, instead of just sprite. Next thing we're going to do is we're going to add the rest of our sprites. So, as you saw from the tutorial, we're going to need his broken heart and his healed heart. So here's his broken heart. And here is his healed heart. Okay. The other things we're going to want to add are the bad guys and the good guys. So the good guy is going to help him heal his heart. The bad guys are going to be the guy you don't really want to run into. Tiny little guy. Make him a little bigger for now, just so that we can see him. He looks angry. Oops. So this is what happens if you import an animation. See, I had 4 different frames here, but they're all in one picture. So I just imported the picture, which was not quite right. So instead, let's go to, remember, right click, import from sprite strip. And you can see it's 2x2. We delete this frame. And we close out. Looks like it was a little bit off, but that's okay. It'll be okay for now. I believe there's one last thing that we would want to import of our sprites, and that is the wall. So we have this wall thing. Oh, and the door. Whoops, two more things. So I made this in paint, so it was really easy to make. And lastly, the door. Okay, so now we have all of the objects we are going to need in order to make this game. So let's size out so we can see all of the canvas. So this is going to be our whole level. We can now view our whole level all at once. So now we have to start adding properties to these characters to make them do what we want. So, for example, we need to now add a behavior onto the main character. If we double-click one of the objects and insert new objects below the sprite in the tiled background is input. And we're going to want some keyboard input. We're going to want to be able to tell the main character to move with the arrow keys. So we select our keyboard input. Whoops, not quite what we wanted. So now we're going to want to be able to add a behavior. So hero behaviors, we add the little plus button. And one thing we're going to be able to add is movement. So 8-direction movement. I don't think we're going to want him to move all 8 directions, but let's click it for now. So now, if we use the arrow keys, we'll be able to move him. If we do run layout and we test this, I'll show you what it looks like. He moves in all 8 directions. I believe I caught an animation error there too. Ah, there we go. So loop, we are going to definitely want that to be set to yes, so they can keep going. That way your animation can look seamless. This one was also set to no. Let's set that one to yes, so that way it looks like he keeps walking. Okay, so let's say I don't want all 8 directions, I want 4 directions. So if you click over here on directions under behaviors and 8 directions, you can choose up and down or left and right 4 or 8 directions. So I'm going to choose 4 directions. And I don't think I want him to turn in a circle very smoothly. That's not quite what I want. So let's say 90-degree intervals. Now let's see what that looks like. There we go. Not quite what I like. Kind of looks weird. Perhaps we should not set it to any angles. You never know, you might want your character to have angle turning. So I'm going to set that to no. And that's obviously not all the behaviors I want him to have. But the next one that might be useful to show you is right here. Oops, whoops, we did not want that. So if we go to behaviors, add, solid. So if we let it be solid, it means objects cannot move through it, which will be very useful for adding boundaries. So if we place, let's say, let's make it a little smaller. But if we place the wall here and our guy right here, and we run it, he's not moving through it at all. I don't know if you guys noticed, but there seems to be a bit of extra room around our main character here. So when he was hitting the wall, there was a lot of space in between. We can fix that. If we double click, we get back to this window, and this tool right here, crop transparent edges, we want to do this for the entire animation, so we're going to hold shift and click on this button. So this now crops it. You can see there's significantly less room around our main character here. And I'm just going to delete this first frame because we have this ending frame is the same if we scroll in. See, it's back to normal. This is moving normal. So if we try again, if we run our layout again, we can now see the difference. See? Much better collision right here. Much less room there. This guy's kind of... Anyway. So now we can work on more behaviors to give him. So in case you didn't notice, our camera just kind of sat there. It kind of sat there in the same place. And I don't think we want that. We think we want our camera to move with this guy. And that's a behavior we can add. We can add scroll to. Oh, there we go. Under general. So scroll to means that the camera will now scroll to this character when we move him around. There we go. Now we can move around the entire layout. We're going to finish adding behaviors now. I believe there's a couple more that we will want to add. For example, we noticed that the broken heart moved around with our main character. So that's a... Oh, that's a behavior that we can add. Under behaviors, we can add pin, which means it'll stick to another object. So now this will move around with him. And we also want to add movement to our enemy. If you noticed, he was moving back and forth in my main game. So under behaviors, that's under platform. You might think that's just for platform. This is also for... moving back and forth, since platforms move back and forth. Great. So, I believe, oh, this one also flashes. That's another behavior. So it'll blink back and forth when we touch the good guy. Okay. With scroll to and 8 direction, with enemy movement, and with our wall being a solid object. I believe that's all for behaviors. If we forget anything, we can always go back and add. Now, one thing I forgot that I definitely want to show you guys is layers. Layers are very, very important. We want to make sure that the background doesn't interfere with any of our main sprites here, because that would be bad if our background started jumping out at us. So what we can do is we can add another layer. We can rename this layer background, and this one can be renamed foreground. So one will be on top of the other. So this one, he's set to background. That's a problem. We need to set these all to foreground and make sure that they are not interfering with our background. They're by default set to background since that was their only layer for a period of time. There we go. These should all be set to foreground, so none of them should interfere with it. This one can be kept to background since that's it. We're going to lock that to make sure no more changes can be made to that. We absolutely do not want any changes to be made to that. The rest of everything will be in the foreground. Great. So finally, we can actually start building our maze. So clearly, we only have one wall, and we need many walls in order to build our maze. So what we can actually do is hold down Control and drag, and it'll make a duplicate of whatever we are holding. So if we want a duplicate of him, Control and drag, though we do not. So let's continue dragging this out. I will build out a maze. Actually, you know what? Might just be a good idea to layer over each other. There we go. Now we can flip it. Having some trouble. That's not quite right. That's also not quite right. There we go. There we go. So now we can click and drag to make the borders of our game. I think I'm gonna pause while I build the rest of the level. I'll see you guys in a bit. Hey guys, so now you can see that I have built up my maze. This is our level now. I've dragged the heart off to the side because we're not going to want to see that. And the first thing we want to do is make sure that these guys are not moving with our arrow keys. So we set default control to no. Otherwise, the arrow keys will be able to control their movement, and we want these guys to move independently. So what we're going to want to start doing now is moving over to what's called our event sheet, and this is going to help us design the game, what makes the game. It designs the physics for our game. So we can do things like enemy movement here and main character layout. So we're going to actually start with our keyboard movement. That's going to essentially say whenever the left arrow is pressed, we are going to shift our character one way, and if it's right arrow is pressed, we'll shift him the other way. So this way, it looks like he's moving back and forth. So we should probably do, whoops, wrong one. So if we do our left arrow, we will set our main character, we'll add our action, and we'll add our hero. Set mirrored. So left arrow means mirrored. Actually, by default, our hero is facing right. So yes, we would want to mirror him, set him to look left, opposite of how he normally looks. So once again, now we'll do our right arrow and set him to be not mirrored. So let's see what that looks like. There we go. So it looks like he's moving back and forth. So the next thing we can do is make sure that the hearts follow around the main character. And we can do this really easily by saying, essentially, always follow around the main character. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to System, and then do something on Every Tick. So under General, Every Tick, we are going to set the location. So the X and Y, if you remember on a graph, X and Y location. So we're going to go to Set X. And the X is going to be the same as hero dot X. And we're going to do the same thing for the Y. You can see this is a special word right here. And because we had it set to pin, it'll maintain its distance. It should maintain its distance when we are playing. So let's see if that'll work. See? It follows the player around. We can do the same thing for our healed heart. And there we go. These will now follow the hero around. So you probably saw how the heart attached itself to the middle of the player. Well, we can fix that so that it attaches itself probably closer to his head, as we saw in my tutorial. So what we're going to want to do is change what's called this origin point, put it right up here by his head. We're going to apply it to the whole animation. And then change the origin point on the heart. So instead of it being in the middle, it'll be closer to the edge. And we can change that on our healed heart as well. Probably want it closer to where it will collide. So when we run our layout now, we'll see that the heart will actually be on his head and follow around on his head. There we go. So real quickly, because the heart is now attached to a certain side of his head, we're going to want to set the hearts to also be mirrored as well. So when the left arrow is down, we're going to mirror the hero, and we're going to mirror the broken heart, as well as the healed heart. And then when the right arrow is down, we have the hero set to not mirrored, so have the broken heart also set to not mirrored, as well as the healed heart said to not mirrored. There we go. So it mirrors with the player as well. So the next thing I'm going to show you guys is enemy movement. This is going to be a little complicated, so be sure to follow along. So the first thing we're going to want to do is make sure that we're keeping track of whether or not this bad guy is moving left or right. And we can do this with an instance variable. I accidentally already created it, so let me delete that. Okay, so we're going to add a new variable. We're going to name it action. Our type will be text, and we'll start left. Oops. Easy enough. So now the first thing we're going to do on our event sheet is we're going to check to see if we're going left. Because if we're going left, we're going to change our movement to be left. We'll click Simulate Control and choose left. So we're going to do this again for right. We're going to compare to see if the action is equal to right. And if so, then we're going to have our bad guy simulate control right. So this just means that he's going to move right again. Great. So this is all set up for us. So how are we going to check to see whether or not we're going to bounce off against the wall or bounce off against something? So what we're going to do is actually create an invisible sprite that'll have our character move between two instances of it. When it collides with it, it'll change directions. So we'll add a new sprite. It's going to be this invisible box right here. We'll make it nice and tiny. Same size as our character, maybe a little bigger. And we'll rename it to our movement box. So now we're going to drag new instances of where we want the character to move between. So so this guy will move between these two boxes. He'll move between these. How about here? And here. I think that's all for our little guys, and they'll move between the boxes. Perfect. So now we want to be able to change direction when we collide with the box. So we'll add this event on whether or not on collision with another object. On collision with our movement box. Great. So what we're going to want to do is have two what's called sub-events, where we're going to check to see if he's moving right, we'll change it to left, and if he's moving left, we'll change it to right. So we'll check, see if it's equal to left. Then we'll change his direction to move right. We'll set the value to right. Great. Otherwise, we move him left. So we're going to add another, we're going to add another sub-event. Else, otherwise. Left. Great. If he collides with the box and he's moving left, set it to right. If it collides with the box, otherwise, move it to right, left. Did I say right? Getting them all mixed up. Let's run our layout and see how this works. Oh, that's very fast. Oh, I see the problem. Looks like gravity's turned on. Let's fix that right now. So if we click on our bad guy object right here, we can see the platform object, the speed is set to 330. Wow, that sounds really fast. Let's maybe change that to 200. Let's set the gravity to 0. No double jump. If the gravity is set to 0, then we don't need max fall speed. Enabled. Okay, let's try that again. There we go. Let's see if he turns the other way. Oh, yep, bounces between back and forth, between those two boxes. Perfect. The next thing we can do is add health to our main character so that when he interacts with a bad guy, he loses some health and eventually dies if he loses too much health. Okay, so we're going to want to make another instance variable for him. Instance variables, add edit. We'll add one called health, where we'll set his health to be 100, and we'll subtract from 100 every time we interact with it. Every time we interact with a bad guy. So on collision with a bad guy, we subtract, say, 30 damage from our health. Subtract from health. Let's say 30 points. So if our health gets below a certain threshold, let's say if we get below 0, compare. So if health is less than or equal to 0. So if we get to 0 or below that, then we want to destroy our main character. Destroy the hero. Destroy. Great. Let's try that out. One, two, three, four. There we go. But it seemed to give no indication when we hit him that we even lost any damage at all. So we could probably do that with maybe blinking our character. So that's a behavior that we can add. We make sure that our hero is selected. We add the flash behavior. It'll make it blink. Then on collision with a bad guy, we can set our main character to flash. Let's set it for maybe 0.3 and set the duration for maybe 3 seconds. So now when we interact with a bad guy, we'll see that he flashes. There we go. Look at that blinking. Now you definitely know that you're losing health there. Perfect. I don't know if you guys can tell, but behind our broken heart is a little healed heart. And that's not good. There should be no healed hearts on the playing field at the beginning of the game. So, oops, whoops. What we're going to want to do is add a behavior that tells it to delete it if it's outside the layout. So destroy outside layout, as we have it. If we go to our layout, we can see it's outside the layout. Great. So when we touch a good guy, when our hero touch a good guy, on collision with another object, we're gonna want our broken heart to spawn a healed heart, so it'll turn into another one. So we do spawn another object, healed heart. On layer one, on. Actually, what is our layout? Our layers were. Don't. There we go, layer one. Ah, yes, foreground is also layer one. This is layer zero. But we definitely don't want it spawned in the background, we want it spawned in the foreground. Then we're going to want to delete our broken heart. So we'll destroy our instance of the broken heart. So now we'll only have the healed heart, and the healed heart will follow around the hero. Perfect. Let's test that. Might want to slow down our bad guys. Might be a little too fast. Might want to speed up our hero, too. Welp. Might need to change a little bit of the mechanics of the game first. It's good that we're testing it so we can see these problems. Great. So we can slow down our bad guys. Maybe set these guys to be 100 instead of 200. Maybe set it to be 250 instead of 200. Look at how slow these guys are. Made this game way too easy. Yep, there we go. Though it doesn't seem very obvious when we change the hearts. This guy might be stuck. I'm glad we're working out all the bugs together. Oh, well, that's why. There's none here or there. We missed one. That's a mistake. So maybe we would like to make the heart blink. It already has the flash behavior. So when we touch the good guy, maybe we can also say, have the healed heart flash. We'll just flash for a second. That'll make it more obvious. So one of the last things we want to do to make sure that our game works is put in a win condition. So how do we win this game? Well, we win this game when we get to the door, which I put all the way over here. We get to the door while having the healed heart. So the way I'm going to do this is when the healed heart touches the door. Oops, I didn't name that door. Let's fix that. When we touch the door, we're actually going to go to a windscreen. So we can do that by adding another layout. So we'll add layout. We don't need an event sheet for it. And this will be our windscreen. So we can just kind of double click to add a new sprite, which will say win. Let's see. Sure, let's have it there. V size 14. Drawing it with my mouse so it'll come out terribly. Win! Hooray! Make that nice and big so that they know that they've won. And on collision with the door, we'll make sure to change our layout. So it's under System, go to Layout, Layout 2, which should probably rename Windscreen. And now we can run our game and we'll get to a windscreen. Well, that's a problem. We should probably not run the windscreen. Though we could probably make this a little smaller. Let's try that again. See, I'm cheating because I know how much health we have. Oop, why is that guy getting stuck? I don't know why he's getting stuck so much. Don't know why he's getting stuck either. Yay! We won our game! We just successfully made our first tutorial. Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope you guys are successful in making your games.